We were at a little Thanksgiving. It's coming up. You know, it come by and pass quick, like Halloween. We were at a little Halloween get-together this past week. I heard somebody behind me over there, and they was talking about me, and they said, "Who is that?" Somebody said, "That's Kendra's husband." For those of you that don't know me, I am better known as Kendra's husband. That's one title I like. I'm actually proud of. I am glad to be in the house of God this morning. How many of you have grandkids? Yes, amen. You know how it is when you go take. I thought this morning, I know this is not the right place. I wanted a PowerPoint of my grandboys put up for Brother Billy. It's kind of like this: "Behold, my grandchildren." That's the way it is at work. I mean, you know, you see them. You just got to share it. And you know, people look at you. They don't know why in the world. You wonder, why don't they like this as much as I do? "Behold, my grandchildren." How about this? "Behold, the number one team in the football nation, the Georgia Bulldogs," right? I know Alabama's good, but they're not number one today. Oh, we talk about stuff, don't we? "Behold, we get these new trucks. My son's got that truck. He thinks he's got, you know, he's right now thinks he's got everything he'll ever want in life." You remember those days? I used to think, if I ever get this car, if I ever get this truck, I won't never want nothing else. I learned better than that. You know, I was going down the road yesterday, and I was driving out in the country, and I was just looking at the leaves. I said, and this is what I said out loud. I said, "God, you've done a great job." And I caught myself. I was talking to the Lord. But I was looking at what he had done and beholding the beauty. You know, my wife and I were a little bit different. She loves the beach. She'd get out on the, you know, if you're at the beach, it doesn't matter how early it is, she gets up and she wants to see the sunrise. Some of y'all like that. When you see it come up and that sun rises and that sun sets and you behold it, isn't it beautiful? But I want to talk to you about something this morning to behold that is greater than all those things. I want to go to 1 John chapter number 3, and I'll say this. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, "I don't pick them, I just preach them as God sends them." And that's kind of the way this is. This has been on my heart for over a week. I preached on this maybe 2.5 years ago. You know, does it matter? It matters. I pay attention to it. I can't help it. I want God to give me something. Okay, I beg God to give me something. I want him to do like David said, where he said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." But this is what's on my heart, so this is what I have to preach this morning. But what I want to preach on for just a little bit is behold what manner of love. Okay? And I want to read this scripture in 1 John chapter number 3, and then we're going to go back to the book of John and go to chapter number 13. But I want you to read this scripture and understand it. And as we look at these other things that are important to us, these things that mean something to us, these things that occupy our time, the things that are on our priority list, I want to tell you something. God should be number one. If he's not number one, I don't care what else is in your life, your priorities are out of order. Now, is that me? What do I need to do? I'm not going to be able to stand still, brother. Behold, look at the scripture. It's in 1 John chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, people talk about different things, and I know there's some people passionate about football, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. Regardless of who wins SEC, it's not going to make me sleep one bit of different, okay? You know, I did sit there last night, and I was wanting LSU just to whip Alabama all over that field. Now, every now and then, I'm just that way, okay? We talk about those things. We got these pictures of our grandkids. You take them to work, and you don't know why in the world everybody at the lunch table don't want to spend time looking at your grandkids. You know, some of you got Facebooks, and you got things on there that are important to you, and sometimes people follow it, and you get excited, and you count it every time somebody likes it. Okay, but I want to tell you something that I like to talk about, and I love to meet somebody that I don't know, that they, when you meet them, there's something that bears witness with their spirit, that your spirit, like the Bible says, that we are the sons of God, and we start talking about Jesus, and all of a sudden we get lost in that conversation because there's something common in us. Okay? Because we understand what manner of love it is that the Father hath bestowed upon us. You know, when you look at it, here's what the word behold means. It means to look. It means to take notice. It's almost like this. It's when you walk up to somebody and you've got something in your hand and you just say, you've just got to see this. There's times I'll be in there in my chair and I'll be in the zone. You know, I'm not asleep, but I'm getting close. I've got the TV and I turn it down lower and lower and lower. And all of a sudden, here come Kendra down the hall and she sticks that big phone right in my face, something on Facebook. She said, you've got to see this. Sometimes I say, I don't need to see it. But I'll tell you, when it comes to what I'm talking about this morning, you need to see it. You need to understand it. The scripture says in the book of John chapter 1 verse 29, it says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. Okay? It was something to see. It's something to experience. See, here's the thing. And I saw this on a church sign that I liked this. And here's what it said very simply. It said, we love to tell the story. It's the greatest story that has ever been told. It is the gospel. The word means good news to all men. It is the only hope for every sinner. You know, when we talk about love in our language, sometimes we don't understand what we really mean when we're explaining it to someone, because my kids come up to me and they say things like, Dad, I love pizza. They say, Dad, I'd love to have a new iPhone X. Oh, you know, they've got those things. But that's not the kind of love that I'm talking about. Had a little dispute recently. Somebody was talking about, you know, they don't understand. Let me tell you, doesn't the Bible teach us that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife? There's a different kind of love, folks, of the love that you have for a mother or a father or a brother or a sister than what the Bible teaches us that a man should have for his wife. But when Jesus came on the scene, he started teaching us about a kind of love that man had not known nor understood until that time. You see, in the Greek language, there's the word eros, which is a sensual love that's not mentioned in the Word of God. There's phileo or Philadelphia that comes from it, which is a brotherly love, or it's where you love somebody or you care for somebody. But what Jesus loved us with is agape love. It is to wish well for. It's not dependent on anything that you do. It's something that he does for us that's almost impossible for us to even understand. But I want you to understand something this morning, that God the Father, he wishes well to you. And he wants to bless you, and he wants to care for you. And I want to tell you, according to what I read in the Word of God, and I can't help but say this with all that's going on in the world, Jehovah is his name, and Jesus Christ is his son. He has no equal. There's nobody like him. There'll never be anybody else like him. And his name is not Allah. His name is Jehovah. And Jesus Christ is not his prophet. Jesus Christ is his son. And what the Bible teaches, it teaches a trinity where you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit agreeing together in one, doing the work of God according to the will of God on this earth. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What did he do? How much did he love us? He loved us so much that he sent his only son. Well, how do you know and understand that? Ask yourself. I believe sometimes God helps us with it like this. What do we love most? It's our children. Now, when Jesus came and he walked on this earth, and I want to go to the 13th chapter of John, and I want to read some scripture because I got some points that I want to share with you. But I want you to see how that Jesus was. Now, if Jesus is God in the flesh and he's on this earth and he is God, you find in the 13th chapter of John where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Now, I'm not going to be able to read all of the scripture for the sake of time, but I want to read a few verses and I want you to see it and even mark these words in your Bible because you want to go back to this and understand this. In 13th chapter of John, in the first verse, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come." Now mark that word "knew." "That he should depart out of this world into the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him," it says, "Jesus knowing." Okay, there it is again. Mark that word. He knows that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and went to God. "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Then he poured water into a pan and he began to wash the disciples' feet." Now, I want to just share just a thought here. Here he is. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and he kneels down at the feet of these disciples to wash their feet. I want you to understand this was a dirty job. It was a dirty job. They walked from place to place. They didn't have a hot shower twice a day like you and I do. But humbleness is what we find in him as he bowed. That's how much that he loved us. And as he washed their feet, he washed them all. And there was one there that he knew. Look at the 11th verse. It says that he, Jesus, knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, "You're not all clean." Somebody turn the air conditioning down for us just a minute. We got a whole lot of people fanning in here. And of course, if it were 32, I'd still be okay. It says, he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, "You're not all clean." Now, here's what I want you to understand. We're going to read just a couple of more verses. All these things come together, but God knew everything that was coming to pass. Go down to the 16th verse. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And he said, I speak not to you all. He says, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." Then I want to go down and read the 34th and the 35th verse. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you ought to love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Now, I want to talk just a little bit about behold what manner of love. And here's the first thing that I want you to see. And this is why I wanted to read that scripture. The love that God has for you and me, it is an educated love. Okay, what do you mean by that? Here's what I want you to understand. God knows everything about you and he still loves you. If you go back to that scripture that I read in the first verse, it said Jesus knew. If you look at the third verse, it said Jesus knowing. If you look at the 11th verse, it says he knew. If you go to the 18th verse, it says I know. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Sometimes people say, well, if you just knew everything about me, you wouldn't try to help me. I've had people say that to me. If you just knew where I'd been, you wouldn't want me in your church. If you just knew how what I have done, you wouldn't believe that God could forgive me. I want you to know something. He loved you, and he knows everything that there is to know about you. There's nothing hid. There's nothing that he hasn't seen. And you can say, well, how does God know? The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees it all. You know, and it says in the 103rd Psalm, the 14th verse, I love this verse. It says, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. You know, when God looks at me, he sees me, and he knows me, and he knows everything about me. He knows my failures. If every failure of my life were put up on that screen, God already sees it. And he loved me just like I am. You know, in Romans chapter 5, in verse 6 through 8, I love this scripture. It says, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means in my worst state, when I've done the worst that I could do, Christ died for me. Sometimes when you and I are looking at one another, we cannot help because we are not God. We're in the flesh. We're trying to be what God wants us to be. We cannot help but see things differently. But I want to tell you, not God. Because the love that God has for you, it is an educated love. He knows everything and He still loves you. You know, sometimes, and it's almost like this when we're counseling with people, and I've cautioned people, the Bible doesn't it teach us to that we ought to confess our faults one to another. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I just got to get up and confess everything that I've done. I say, whoa, don't do that. There may be something that you've done, God's forgiven you for it, but you need to be careful. Everybody sitting out there, they're not God. And they may not understand, and they may not be able to deal with it, but I want to tell you something. When you come before the Lord and you confess before Him, you know what He says? He said, I already knew that. Hey, I've just been waiting on you to come into a relationship of communion and fellowship with me. He said, I died on the cross for you. And when I died on the cross for you, I died knowing what you would do. You see, sometimes we're kind to people. And we're kind, and when they don't reciprocate and they don't treat us right and we give to them and we love them and we try to show them Jesus and they turn and go the wrong direction, you know what happens? Sometimes we get our feelings hurt. Well, I tried to help them. I tried to do this for them, but look what happened. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ died on the cross with you knowing how you would respond. It's an educated love. I tell you what else it is. It's an enduring love. I like that song. It says, He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. What about this part? Even when I'm bad, He still loves me. See, I'm thankful for God's mercy. I need God's mercy. Oh, I want a relationship with God, and I'm in fellowship with Him this morning. I'm glad to be in His house, but I've had some times that I wasn't. I've had some times that I was like the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness and they got over there and they had already seen God move behind them when He put a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But they got down to the waters of Meribah and they said, would have been better if we'd have just died in Egypt. I want to tell you something. The same God that was with you yesterday, He's with you today. And sometimes when I get over there and I start murmuring and I start complaining, you know what God does? He just reminds me and He takes me back to the place of deliverance. What He could do, don't we feel like this sometime? Well, if you just fail that way, just go on. Aren't you glad that God hadn't done that? Aren't you glad that God reaches down and He puts His arm around you? All He wants to do is draw you closer to Him. See, He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. This is some more scripture from Psalms 103. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembered that we are dust. You see, God puts up with us. I love that part of that scripture. It talks about as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. I want to tell you something. I've heard it said before, if we could have our grandchildren first, we wouldn't have children. But I want you to think about this when it comes to pitying children. I want you to think about how God loves you, okay? See, I've had to learn how to be a parent. I've got a daughter that's 26. I've got a son that's 17. I've got a son that's 12. And no, you don't apply the same principle to them. They're all different. But I'll tell you, when I get around my daughter and we're sitting at the table, and this is sometimes where it's at, and I see that little seven-year-old, and the only thing he likes to eat is something with cheese and chicken. Chicken fingers, cheese quesadilla, macaroni and cheese, that's it. Nothing else fits his palate. The other one, now he'll eat just about anything. He'll dance a while, and then he'll eat some more salad, and then he'll dance some more. But you know, I'm sitting at the table with him, and I just want to look at your mom and dad and say, if they want chocolate cake, just give them chocolate cake.
If they want pudding, just give them pudding. They'll grow, I promise you. And I see them, and they're trying to make them do this and make them do that and make them fit in a box. I get them away from mom and daddy. What do y'all want? We went up there. My wife made me drive a truck. We had so much stuff to take them. I pulled up in the yard, and Jake come out, and he wanted to block me where I couldn't take it in the garage. When I look at this, and I look at what the scripture says, as a father pitieth his children, isn't that the love that we have? What about when they're in trouble? I'll tell you, my kids don't always do right, but they're my kids. And your kids are your kids. And they might do wrong, but the next door neighbor better not say nothing about it. Because they're your kids and you love them. That's why, you know, it's not my business to correct yours. It's not your business to correct mine. You can come tell me, I'll deal with them. But I want to tell you something. A father loves his children and a mother loves her children. And I want you to understand something. God loves you. And even when you're wrong, he loves you. Even when you don't appreciate him, he loves you. Even when you don't reciprocate, he loves you. Because he has an enduring love for you. He's merciful. He's gracious. Here's what he does. He endures my stubbornness. He endures my failures. How about this one? And I have this. He endures my foolishness, my mistakes, the things that I do. And it's kind of like this. Oh, I knew better than that. God look at you. You ever said that to your kids? You know better than that. God said that to me sometimes. But he's never walked away from me. Just like a father pitying his children. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. It says this. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And if daddy's the daddy he's supposed to be, ain't nobody going to love you like daddy does. You know, I tell my boys, and I mean this, I tell my daughter this, you get in trouble, you call me. I'll come. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you're around. I said, you call me. You know what? We're in a world today where people will get around our children and they'll try to intimidate them. They'll try to tell them, you know, you better not tell your mom or dad. I said, boys, you can tell me. I said, ain't nobody out there I'm afraid of. Ain't nobody that I wouldn't deal with. Ain't nothing I wouldn't do for you. I want to tell you, when you get in trouble, you go to God. But ain't nobody that can stand against him. There's nobody that has the power that he has. And he loved you, and he cared for you, and he died for you. And it's an enduring love. And you say, well, you don't know what I've done. I want to tell you, you have no idea how much God loves you. I heard a man say one time, he was sitting in his living room, and his little daughter was out on the walk, just like right out in front of the church. He said she was on a little tricycle. She was just going round and round on the sidewalk. He said, I'd listened to her, and I could hear her talking some. He said, about that time, I heard a scream. He said, the scream was so loud. He said, I knew something was wrong. He said, my daughter screamed. He said, I hit the door and knocked the door, slap off the hinges. You know, there are times when you hear your kids cry, you know by the cry what the problem is. If you're God's child and you cry out to him, he'll move on the scene because he knows that cry. Doesn't it say in the 10th chapter of John, he said, I know mine and I know their voice and they know my voice. He said, I went out that door. He said there were two German Shepherd police dogs that had jumped over a 6-foot fence and had my little 3-year-old daughter on the ground. He said, I grabbed one of those dogs and rammed its head, picked it up by the throat and rammed its head into a 4x4 on the post. And he said, I grabbed the other one by its legs. Now this man, and you know, I want you to understand something. The adrenaline, the flow, he beat those two dogs off of his daughter and he picked her up. And as he told the story and tears run down his face, he said, you know, she's still got scars in her head. When she washes her hair, you can see them and you can feel them. He said, but when I heard her voice, he said, I ran. He said, when God hears you cry out to him, he'll run to your rescue. He said, well, I don't know if God loves me. He'll run to you. Sometimes people go places they shouldn't go. He said, Lord, I know I told you I'd never go back, but you find yourself in a mess. I don't care what kind of mess you're in. You can be in a drug house. You can be in a jail cell. You can be somewhere that you know you shouldn't be. But I want to tell you something. If you're saved, Everywhere you go, you take God with you. If you go to a place you shouldn't go to, you're making the Holy Spirit go in that place. If you go to a house you shouldn't go to, or you're around people you shouldn't be around, you feel uncomfortable, you'll never satisfy the God hole in your life, the place that God has to fill by filling it with anything in the world. And when you're there and you're in trouble, if you'll cry out to Him, He'll move on your behalf in the midst of wherever you're at. Because it is an enduring love. I want to tell you this. I got to move. It's an all-encompassing love. This is what I believe about the Word of God and what I see. Had a man at work tell me this. He said they were out there and they were exercising. And you know, they got to debating and they got to arguing. I don't like to talk politics at work. They got to talking about the fact that these people weren't bowing down. And you know, they getting down on their knees during the Pledge of Allegiance, during the football games. And they got debating among themselves. And he stopped them all. He said, I'm going to stop you right now. He said, whether you're a black man or a white man or a Hispanic man, here's what I want you to understand. If you cut yourself, you're going to bleed red. If you cut yourself, you're going to bleed. What do you bleed? You bleed Jesus. Acts chapter 17, verse number 24 says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him, and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also the poets have said, for we are His offspring. So when we bleed, it was one blood. I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what nationality. When you bleed Jesus. And here's what I want you to understand about this love. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It is a love that is an all-encompassing love. It's for all people. It's for the whole world. All nations and all races. And I want to say this. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I want to tell you, I believe it is for all people. You know, there is teaching out there that is so-called the unlimited atonement. And they'll tell you that when Christ died on the cross, He didn't die for everybody. That the Bible's not for everybody. They'll tell you that God didn't choose everybody. I want to tell you that is an apostasy of the last days. It's called hyper-Calvinism. As a pastor of this church, I'll tell you, there'll never be a Calvinist standing in this church and preach as long as I'm pastor. This won't happen. It's an all-encompassing love, a love for all people. John 3:16 means what it says. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Romans 5:18 says this. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. Now, I could go through the Bible and I could give you scriptures and they try to give us theirs, but I want to tell you something. I'm not going to listen to some apostate take my God and turning Him to the same devil that we fight against every day. He died for everybody. I've heard people say this, and this is sad. They say, you know, I'm bad. I'm just not a good person. Maybe I'm one of those they talk about that God doesn't want. Can you believe that? That's what that kind of rotten doctrine does. But I want to tell you, God wants you. You say, well, I don't have anything to offer. He's not asking for anything but just you. See, all God wants from you is a relationship with you. Sometimes people say, well, God, I want this or God, I want that. I tell you what God wants. God wants you. You know what a mother wants from her son? A phone call. A hug. You know what a daddy wants from his daughter? He just wants her to be all right. He wants her to live a good life and be happy. And he wants to look at her as she's growing up and know that the things that he's taught her has helped her. That's all. See, God loves you just like you are. See, it's an all-encompassing love. It's an everlasting love. You see, God has a place prepared for us, and I like this. You know, as I heard the preacher, he was talking about being on an airplane, and, you know, I get around these people. Well, people ask me, what do? I tell them as little as I can. I work for an aluminum company. What do? I sell aluminum. I heard a study, they said, if you want to get more out of people, just give them a title. Give them a title. You give them this big, long, you know, long-handled name, you ain't got to raise their pay. Just make them feel like they're important. That's why we got all these people on this campaign that are going to jail, and they got a handle that's 3 miles long, and they hadn't done nothing. You know, when we look at how much God loves us, it's an everlasting love. And I heard a preacher say he was on an airplane. He got behind beside one of those kind of people. All they want to do is talk about their career. I can't stand to go to those parties. He said, but this lady, she started talking to him. He said, well, he said, I'll tell you. He said, well, what'd I do? He said, I'll tell you first, the retirement plan is out of this world. And as he talked and he went on and he talked about working with people and helping people, she thought he was in some type of, you know, government job. And then, well, I'm a pastor. Then he got to tell her about the love of Jesus. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I love the Lord. I serve the Lord. I appreciate what God's done. Hadn't he painted a pretty picture outside for us? But one day I'm going to be with the Lord. See, John 14, 1 to 3, I know you know this scripture, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Hopefully it'll comfort somebody. It says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, he has a place prepared for us, and he's also going to be with us to the end. He'll never leave us nor abandon us, and we don't know what this life holds, but I'll tell you something about this love. Whatever you face, God's going to be with you. Matthew 28, 20 says this. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. They sang a song just a little bit ago. They played it before church. It said, the Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But this is one thing about a relationship with God and this kind of love is no matter where we're at in our life, whether we have much or we have little, what did Paul say? He said, I've learned both how to abound and to be abased. Every state that he's in, he said, I've learned how to give God the glory in that state. And here's what I want you to understand. There was a time when we were young. There's a time that we're growing old. There may be a time when we have more. There may be a time when we have little. But in our relationship with God, he will never leave us and he will never leave us alone. That's why I believe, and I tell this as a Christian. As a Christian, I can honestly say that I've never been alone. Never. Sometimes people say, I don't see how you can just sit and be by yourself. Well, I'm not. Amen. If it gets quiet, that's me talking to God. And then I want to give you the last one. It's a redeeming love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. It's amazing that God would want me. But see, God's love is greater than my sin. And you say, well, my sin's great. I want to tell you again, God's love is greater than our sin. It reaches higher than the stars, deeper than the lowest hell. And we're going to play a song in just a minute, and then the song is The Love of God. It's the name of the song, and it says, how measureless and strong it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. You see, this love is greater than my sin. It reaches farther down than I can reach up. And it is a saving love. It will save you and it will help you if you will let it. The last stanza of this song we're about to sing, or I'm going to have them play, says it was penciled on the wall of a narrow room in an asylum by a man who was said to have been demented. The profound lines were discovered after his death, and now it's the third stanza of page 220 in your red book. The love of God. It's amazing how much God loves us. It's amazing that God loves me. And sometimes when I sit with my head down and I know I've disappointed him, I also know that there's nothing I could do, nothing that'll ever take me outside of his love. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet, and I'm going to ask them to play the song, The Love of God. I'll tell you, the altars of this church are always open if you're here and God spoke to your heart and you've got anything in your life that you just want to talk to the Lord about. I can't even tell you how much God loves you. I can't explain it to you. You can start by trying to look down into the eyes of those children. You can start by trying to look at the pictures maybe of those grandkids. But that's just the beginning. But in order to experience the fullness of that, you got to allow God in. You got to allow God's love to take its place. Have you ever tried to help somebody or tried to love somebody and it's just like no matter what you tried to do, you couldn't reach them? You couldn't help them. When you're thinking all along, oh, how much I love you. Oh, how much I'd like to help you if you just let me. That's the way Jesus was when he stood before Jerusalem with his arms open. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and slayest those that come unto you. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth her brood under her wings, and you would not. God's standing with his arms open this morning for somebody. Would you come? Would you play the song?